Hello, and welcome to the Fireborn Inspirations Life Devotional Series, hosted by the Reverend Jane Babbage, as she shares her perspective and wisdom on an array of life-changing experiences which are designed to inspire your heart while often making you laugh, think, and or chuckle. Now here's your host, the Reverend Jane Babbage.
Greetings and welcome to today's episode of Walking with an Apostle, my life devotional series, a storytelling of my life experiences with God, His Word, and His servant. So why do I do a storytelling of my life experiences with God, His Word, and His servant? I believe that storytelling is a mixture of what actually happened and what it did to me when it happened. A story is an important part of everybody's life. I love to sit around a table after sharing food and hear people's stories. Is it 100% accurate? Is every point that they say actually how it happened? In other words, did it happen in the morning, the evening? It doesn't matter. What matters is the story and what it did to their life, because that's where the lessons learned are. I love stories that when people tell them, you walk away from the table or the meeting and say, wow, God really did that? Or wow, that's really how they got out of the problem that they were in? I'm sharing storytelling with you because walking with an apostle, without a doubt, outside of becoming a mother, has been the most life-altering experience of my life. And I've walked with some other people in other venues in my life. But because an apostle is meant to make change and cause change and bring order, that's what it did. And you listening to these podcasts have heard time after time where the impact of what she does and who she is in God, it's been a story worth telling. So I confess to you today, I'm a people watcher. I love to watch people. My husband and I used to go to the mall, get popcorn, grab a bench and watch people. That's all we did. We just ate popcorn and watched people. That was very inexpensive entertainment. And because we learned by watching people, how different people walk, how they behave, what message they sent, we would judge each other's evaluations. When people would be walking down towards us, I'd say, oh, that's a couple that really, really loves each other. He'd go like, really? Yeah, just because they're holding hands doesn't mean they love each other. She doesn't want to let him get away from her because she don't trust him. And I'd say, well, how do you know that? And he'd tell me why. And then I'd look at it and I'd go, oh, wow, I never saw that. Or we'd see little kids. And at that point, we had no children. And we'd like watch the little kids and how they would run around the feet of their parents and how they'd be captivated by going over and looking at something that didn't capture the attention of the parent. So we loved doing that. This fun process with my honey led me to do a study of body language when I got into business, which led me to be a very effective negotiator. Part of being a negotiator is being able to tell what's going on across the table. But because I did not carry the knowledge or understanding of the power of that body language into my spiritual walk, I did not understand how to take a stance in God that said, I'm fighting the good fight. I used it powerfully in business, but I didn't understand that there's a spiritual principle to that. I was feeling somewhat disappointed one day, and I went to Dr. A for compassion, which now I'm going to pause here and tell you. First of all, don't ever do that. Don't go to a leader that you are called to be with and expect them to be compassionate, because if they're truly a leader, what you're truly doing and asking them to come to your pity party will not have a good outcome. Now, I thought I had learned that, but I kept doing it over a period of years. And finally, I began to realize this is a big mistake. Don't send the invitation to the apostle to the pity party, because I will end up worse emotionally and better spiritually after that encounter. She listened, and when I stopped to breathe, she looked at me and simply said, "You need to stop walking around like a victim. It draws people to you to make you act that way." I looked at her and I was not really sure what kind of counsel that was. So I left the room and entered into my office space, and the Lord brought me back to a teaching that the apostle had done a few weeks before that. And it was called Our Stance in God, or Our Standing in God. She revelatorily defined our stance as the attitude or position of one who is taking a stand, as the position of a soldier moving into action. It also suggested a mental posture. When I went back and I read my notes, I said, do I need to have a mental posture along with a body posture? And I remember back when my husband and I would watch people for fun with popcorn, that a lot of times when we evaluated it, we realized there was something going on in their brain, in the way that they were thinking, that caused them to behave that way. Her definition suggested mental posture we assume as our readiness to go do our part in something that requires great resolve. It is our having an excellence of attitude, determination, and strength of spirit that reaches out to take up and do whatever God has put in our hands to do. This stance in God sends the message to all onlookers that you are moving forward regardless of what the enemy does, and that you are not alone. He is with you. And I kept reading this definition and kept thinking about what I was feeling and why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And I realized why she gave me the wise counsel she gave me when she said, stop walking around like a victim. Because up to that point, my friends, I did that because I had been hurt, because I had been wounded, and even though God had brought me through a lot of healing, I was still walking around like I was expecting to be hurt, that I was looking for it, even though I didn't realize it. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I didn't walk around like I knew I was doing what the Lord had called me to do. So that left me vulnerable and open to what the enemy was saying I was doing. And he uses, which we have to realize, he uses people to send those messages. And that day that I had come to her was because somebody had said something to me, listen to me carefully, that I was expecting them to. I was expecting them to say something wounding because they had in the past. And so I was walking up to them with the victim sign on me saying, go ahead, insult me. That's what you usually do. How many times have you done that? How many times you've been with family, friends, business associates that you know you have to spend time with, but because they were rude to you before, or because they hurt your feelings before, or because they hit on you before, you walk up to them in that stance, in that mindset that says, okay, I know I have to endure this. Go ahead, get it over with. But people, we can't do that. Our stance in God is one of power, is one of purpose. We can't walk around expecting people to behave the way they did before. We know we have to be wise, but we can't walk around with that stance in God and in our spirit. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on alert, stand firm in faith, act like men, be strong. We have to walk in knowing the purpose God has called us to be and knowing our standing in God and that we're never alone. He may cause us, he may call us to walk alongside or in the midst of people that are rude, hurtful, uncaring, purposely insulting, mean. But that doesn't mean we have to let it harm us. That doesn't mean we have to take it into us. We have to stand in God as to who we are. I learned that through the apostle, through her teaching. Now, when I go into a situation, I don't walk in waiting for the next bad word or awful look or that snide smile that people give you when they let you know they're just enduring your presence. I don't do that. I walk in going, you know what? I'm going to be alert. I'm going to stand firm in faith, knowing I am not here alone, and I am here because God has called me to be here. Rise up, people. Rise up in who you are and the privilege that we have to stand wherever we need to in the power, knowing that God is with us. As I watched Apostle handle life, I understood that she has a stance in God for every challenge that the enemy throws to her. Regardless of what God allows to enter her life, be it betrayal, heartbreak, loss, sickness, her stance of knowing that she is walking with God has never changed. Her response always is, "He got me." Her stance was one of unflawed confidence in him because she was with him and he was with her. When she says, "He got me," that is three words that mean a lot. That's like these three little words standing up and this whole army of God being behind it. I have grown in my stance in God by trusting more, yielding more, believing his word, and watching those that stand firm in him and in their faith fight huge battles. I leave you today again with 1 Corinthians 15:58. Can be firm ground for you to stand on today. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that you labor, it is not in vain, for he is with you. Until next time, remember, we craft our life and legacy daily. Do it as it becometh you.
Did you enjoy that? Well, we thought you would. We also invite you to check out more resources from Jane Babbage by logging onto the website at www.fireborninspirations.com or follow us at Fireborn Inspirations on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time, we say thanks again for listening and encourage you to continue to craft your life and legacy daily as it becometh you. This program is produced by Creative Impact, LLC, with all rights reserved.